All right, 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. And we're going to look there at verse number 8. I got you seated, but I'm going to ask you to stand again for the reading of these scriptures, if you can. If you're physically able to, let's stand and read 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read a whole passage all together. And then we'll kind of break it up a little bit in the message, in the points of the message. 1 John chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. All right, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested," that word means, you know, displayed or seen or shown and so on. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God, love his brother also." Let's pray. Why don't you pray and ask God to speak to your heart this morning, okay? Father, I'm so glad we can be here together. I'm thankful, Lord, for your word that I get to preach. Your word is faithful. Your word is everlasting. Your word is true, and I'm so glad we have a book full of truth, a book that tells us about the love of God for us. Help us, Lord, to understand your word today, understand the truth that you want us to learn, and be helped in our life by it, and not just know your love, but also show your love. Please, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about God's love, obviously. God's love being perfected. One man wrote this: "There is nothing that you can ever do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do, ever do, to make God love you less." You know what? That's true. There's nothing you can do that can make God love you more than he already loves you. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less than he loves you. God's love for us is unconditional. God's love for us is impartial. God's love for us is everlasting. God's love for us is absolutely infinite. God's love is perfect. God's love is perfect. I want to share with you this morning 63 points about the love of God. Some of you are smiling. You know that I'm not serious, okay? Let me share with you 10 quick thoughts. It will be 10, though, okay? 10 short things, 10 quick things about the love of God. Here's number one. God is love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. Look down at verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. You want to define God? Love's a pretty good description. Now, God is love. God is holy, God is just, God is true, God is faithful, God is love. God is love. The Bible does not say that God contains love. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible does not say that God possesses love. It says that He is love. The Bible does not say that He just shows love or that He has love. The Bible says that God is love. That's His makeup. That's who He is. You know, we are made up of flesh and blood. But you know what God is made up? He's made up of love. He's made up of love. Every fiber of God's existence is love. God cares about mankind. God cares about us as His creation. There has never been a time when we have not been in His thoughts. There has never been a time where He has ever stopped loving us or loved us less. There are times where we break His heart. But you know, that's just proof of that He loves us. God is love. He absolutely loves you. And He loves me. God is love, number one. Number two, God demonstrated love. God demonstrated love. He demonstrated love. Look what the Bible says in verse 9 and 10. 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested. He showed it. He put it all on full display. He tried to show to mankind His love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Number two is God demonstrated love. You know, man turned his back on God. But how would God respond? He would respond the only way that He can ever respond, and that is with love. Because our God is a loving God. You know, the Bible says about us, mankind, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way. But you know what? God still loves us as His creation. He still loves us. Some ask the rhetorical question, can God ever make a stone too big for Him to lift it? Well, that's really just a dumb question. Because God cannot do anything but love. God cannot do anything but love. That is not only all that He knows how to do, it's all that He's capable of doing. God is love. And He demonstrates His love. He shows His love to us. What happened back in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, mankind turned their back on God. God had told Adam, you're not supposed to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But man turned their back on God. Man sinned against God. Man disobeyed God. And how did God respond? With love. With love. God's creation sinned against Him, but God responded with love. First, love said that He must keep His word. The first thing that love did was say, you know, I've got to keep my word. I gave them my word. And so God exiled man from the Garden of Eden, and God allowed man to die spiritually. Just as like He said, man would die. It may sound harsh to some, but it is love. It is love. Secondly, He came to earth. And He punished Himself vicariously for man. A holy, just God said sin must be punished. But because God is love, what did He do? Love made a way. Love made a way by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, down into the world. He died for our sins. He died in our place. He took the punishment for sin that you and I really deserved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, some say that sure was good of God. That was good of God to decide this for man. But you know something? God really had no choice but to do it for man. Because God always, without fail, He always responds in love. God is love. God is love. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us. He proved His love towards us. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did God do? God demonstrated that He is love. It was just a demonstration that God is love. So what's number one this morning? God is love. There you go. Number two, God demonstrated. Okay, you're a little slow. God demonstrated love. God demonstrated love. Here's number three. God expects love. You're a smart bunch, all right? God expects love. God is love. God demonstrated love. God expects love. Look at these verses with me. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Then look down at verse 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then go down to verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Or he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And look back at chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Look at verses 16 and 18. 16, 17, 18. 1 John 3, 16 to 18. Hereby perceive we. This is how we understand or grasp and so on. Here's how we perceive. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, since God is love, he demonstrates his love to us, and then he expects love. He expects love. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. You know, not only should we love God, but God also expects us to love one another. Do you know that? God expects us to love one another. God wants me to love Timothy. And God wants Timothy to love Dave. And God wants Dave to love Samuel and to love Michael. You know, God is love, and he has demonstrated his love to us, but God expects love. God expects you to love your family. God expects you to love your neighbor. And God expects you to love the brethren, the fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God expects us to love just like he has loved us. How can we say we love God, but then not love those around us? If God is love and God's love abides in us, then certainly we should love the brethren. We should love our families. We should love our spouse. God, being love, he expects us to love. God has no patience for his people not loving one another. That's wrong. He says, you ought to love just like I have shown my love and demonstrated my love. You ought to love your brother. How can you say you love God if you won't love your brother? How can you say you love God when you don't love your sister? How can you say you love God when you say, I don't love my parents, or I don't love such and such, or they hurt me? Hey, God loved us even when we hurt him. God loved us even when we sinned against him. If we do not love one another, the noise of that kind of behavior is to God, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Were you one of those people that scraped your fingernails on the chalkboard in a school classroom? Or were you one of those people that when somebody did that, you were like, oh, no. Hey, when we don't love one another, when we have a heart that is maybe full of hatred or anger towards a brother or towards a sister or to another Christian or to somebody in our family, somebody in God's family, to a friend, whatever, and we don't love them like we should, that to God is just, oh, I don't like the sound of that fighting. I don't like the sound of that hatred. I don't like the unforgiveness in their life. I want them to love. God expects love. He expects love. If God's love is demonstrated by forgiveness and by restoration, then certainly God's love should be demonstrated through our lives by forgiving those around us. For example, the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know what? God expects us to love others the way that he loves us. God expects that. And he's got a right to expect that. We said three things so far. Number one, God is love. Okay? Number two, God demonstrates love. Number three, God expects love. Right answer every time. Good job. And here's number four. Number four, God's love is perfect. God's love is perfect. It's perfect. In 1 John 4:10, it gives us a description of perfect love. It says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." That really describes what perfect love is like. Herein is love. Here's a description of it. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. You know what? God's love is totally unselfish. We love God because He first loved us. We just reciprocate His love. We return love in showing love to Him when He first loved us. But you know something? God loved man when mankind did not love Him. You know, God still loves this world and loves the people of the world, even though He knows that many will reject Him. Even though He knows that many people will never return love back to God. God loves us with an unconditional love. And His unconditional love demands that we love one another with that same type of love. God's love is perfect. His love is perfect. You know, sometimes our love may be more based on, well, I'll love them if they love me. Well, I'll be good to them if they're good to me. That's not pure, perfect love. That may be returning love, but love is, I'm going to love them whether they ever love me or not. I'm going to love her whether she ever shows love to me or not. I'm going to love them even though they may have hurt me. I am going to love like God loves. God's love is perfect. God's love is perfect. Here's number five. God wants His love to be perfected in our lives. God wants His love to be perfected in our lives. If God loved us with this perfect love, then we ought to love one another. In 1 John 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now, how is God's love perfected in us? It's perfected in us when we love others the way that God loves us. God's love is being perfected in our lives when we love others the way that God loves us. You know what? It's not quite so difficult to return love to God when He's done so much for us. It's another thing entirely to love your family and love other Christians with that same love, even if they've maybe not necessarily done a lot for you. We love God because He's done so much for us. But listen, God's love is perfected in us when we start to love others with that same kind of totally unconditional love that God has. With a love that it's not based on, you know, if they do this or if, no. A love that is perfect. Perfect love is not the children loving the parents. Oh, children ought to love their parents, and the parents have done so much for children. Your mother gave birth to you. Your parents fed you and took care of you. They changed your diapers. They fed you. They maybe took you to school. They taught you. They listened to you. They loved you. They made an investment in your life. The perfect love is not just children loving parents. That's a reciprocating of love, and that ought to take place as well. You know, perfect love is the parent loving the children and the children loving one another. So often we're impressed with a child and a parent loving one another, and would to God that it was true in every family. But if the parent lives for the child to love them, then they cannot love the child with perfect love. If a parent is only going to love their child, well, if my child does this, no, that's not perfect love. You're saying then that you're not going to love them. You're just going to be, you know, unless they do such and such. No, you need to have God's perfect love for them. You're going to keep loving your children even if they disappoint you. You're going to keep loving your children even if they say something foolish that hurts you. You're going to love them. You're going to love them. We as parents cannot place a condition upon our love for our children, that of being loved in return. Perfect love is going to love regardless of what the other person has or has not done for us. If a parent places conditions or requirements on their loving a child, then it ruins perfect love. And it can prevent the parent from being godlike in their love when it's time for discipline. Such a parent may not end up keeping their word and punish when the need arises. Perfect love is not the child loving the parent, but the parent loving the child unconditionally. Perfect love is not the people loving the pastor, but the pastor loving the people and the people loving one another. Perfect love is not the employees loving the boss who gives them a paycheck, but the boss loving the employees and the employees loving one another. Perfect love is not students loving the teacher, but the teacher loving the students and students loving one another. Perfect love is not us loving God, but God loving us and then us then loving one another. In the same way that God loved us. God wants His love to be perfected in us. God wants His love to be perfected in us. Number six, quickly. We are to dwell in His love. We're to dwell in His love. We're to dwell in His love. Look what the Bible says in 1 John 4. 1 John 4 and verses 12 and 13. It says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Just as Christ lived in this world, that's how we're supposed to love. The same love that God demonstrated, that's the same kind of love that we're supposed to show to others. You know, this is where God wants us to live. This is where God wants us to live. I'm not trying to talk about, well, this is a good ideal you're talking about, Pastor. This is just a good idea or a good philosophy of life to have that we ought to love. No, I'm talking about this is where we're supposed to live. This is where we're supposed to live each day. This is how we're supposed to live. Showing God's love to others. Loving others, whether they return that love or not. Loving your teenagers when they're good and loving them when they're bad. Loving your spouse when they treat you right and loving them when they don't treat you right. Whoever it may be, but showing love, demonstrating love, living, dwelling in love every day. God wants us to abide in that unconditional love. It needs to be our way of life. We need to learn to love one another and learn to love our followers regardless of their love for us. Sometimes we judge our parenting by an ability to be our child's buddy. Parenting is not, I love my children, so I'll become their buddy. I'll become their best buddy. I'll give them whatever they want. I'll do for them whatever they want. No, you're not to be your child's buddy. You're to be your child's parent. You're to be their parent. And parents love them. And parents train them up. Being our child's buddy or friend is not perfect love. Perfect love is when a parent sometimes has to punish wrong. Perfect love is when a parent lives vicariously through their children. Perfect love teaches children to love one another. We have rules in our home. And if those rules are broken, then children will be punished. Someone says, well, I love my children too much. I could never punish them. I can't be that strict with them. No, I love my children too much not to be that strict. I do not love my kids because they love me. You know what? I was loving my kids before they ever loved me. Right? And I love them. I love them. Parents love their children irregardless of whether they show love in return. Parents will love their kids even on a day when the kids are having a bad day. And disappointing you. We ought to love like that. I want to have a home where children learn to get along with one another. And love one another. Why? Because I want to have a home where perfect love is demonstrated. It's lived. I want kids to love dad and mom because we first love them. But I also want my kids to love one another because that's when perfect love is being practiced in their lives. Perfect love is not just, oh, I love you, Daddy. Oh, I love you, Dad. Of course you should. Your dad's wonderful. And your dad's done a lot for you. Right? That's why you ought to love me. You know, but Ashley, I want you to love BJ and Eric. When it's not easy to love them. That's perfect love, right? That's perfect love being practiced, demonstrated in our lives. If we are dwelling in God, and God's love is dwelling in us, then we ought to, then love ought to be felt by the people around us. Love ought to be felt and shown in our homes. Love should be felt and shown in our hearts. Now, how is the world supposed to know that we're Christians? How is it? Is it because, you know, we carry a Bible? Is it because we got dressed up in a certain tie and we went to church? Is it because we dressed a certain way or because we had short hair? No. There are things that are good and all of this. But do you know how the world is supposed to tell that you're a Christian? By how we love. By how we love. The world is supposed to identify, they're a Christian. I know they're a follower of Jesus Christ. I know they're one of his wife because of the way that they love. The way that they love people. John chapter 13, the Gospel of John 13, verses 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Just, we ought to dwell in love. Love is not something that, you know, you put it on when you come to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm gonna love everybody then. No, I want you to love everybody in your home. I want you to love the people in your workplace. Show God's love to them. I want you to love that neighbor that's hard to love. That's God's love being perfected in our lives. That we are willing to love even if that love is not returned. We are the initiator of love, just like God is the initiator of love to us. Here's number 7 quickly. There's no fear in love. There is no fear in this love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18. Do you see it with me? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. This is the place where fear does not exist in perfect love. There's no fear in this love. The most miserable person on planet Earth is the person who does not believe that God loves him unconditionally and does not believe that God has his best interests in mind. The most miserable child is the one who somehow has been convinced that, you know, my parents do not love me. They don't want the best for me. They don't love me. They're against me somehow. The most miserable wife is the one who does not believe that her husband loves her and has her best interest in mind. The most miserable church member is the one who does not believe that their pastor loves them and has their best interest in mind. This is one of the hardest things sometimes. Is trying to love people or love someone and then them not believing that you love them. Them not believing that you love them. When a church member does not believe that their pastor loves them and has their best interests in mind and wants what is absolutely God's best for their life, you know what? Then I failed. They have a fear. They may have a fear of the future. Perfect love could have cast out that fear. You know something? I want Gospel Light Baptist Church to abide in perfect love. I am most interested in me loving you and you loving one another. That's what matters. I am most interested in me loving you and you loving one another. And you loving your neighbors. And you loving your co-workers. And you loving your children. And you loving your fellow Christians. I'm interested in that because I want perfect love to be evident in our lives. I want us to dwell in love. I want love to be perfected in us. Number 8, there is a boldness. There is boldness in this love. There is boldness in this love. The Bible says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. How can I fear the future when I know that God loves me unconditionally? How can I fear the future when I know that God loves me unconditionally? How can I be afraid to do God's work? How can I be afraid to witness? How can I be afraid to do the things Christ wants me to do when I think about that God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How can I not have boldness in trying to live for Christ and serve Christ and be a witness for Christ and do the things that Christ wants me to do when I think about how much God loves me? That ought to make me bold for Christ. That ought to make me bold in living for Christ, because I know how God demonstrated his love and how God proved his love to me by what he did by the giving of his son. We sing a song that sometimes a part of the chorus of that says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And it's true. God's love for us is so amazing, so divine, so wonderful, so perfect. It demands my soul, my life, my all. It ought to, God's love for you ought to cause you to give your all to Christ. God's love for you ought to cause you to be bold in living for Christ and following after Christ because what he's done for us. Number 9, quickly, we are not to love the world with this love. We're not to love the world with this love. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We're not to have an unconditional love for the things of this world. Why would God tell us that? Because he is love. And love demands that he tells us that which will hurt us. Because he's a loving God, he'll tell us, hey, don't fall in love with the things of the world. That'll hurt you. Don't fall in love with the things of this world. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. They can entangle you. They can become snares in your life. They can wreck your life and ruin your life. And God's love tries to warn us of that. Not to love the world with a love that belongs to God. And then number 10, last, we are perfected in this unconditional love. We are perfected in this unconditional love. Do you know that when there's an environment of unconditional love, there'll be more growth and more perfecting and more maturing taking place? You know what a greenhouse is? They've got a greenhouse, I think, over on Major McKenzie Drive, right by the... I guess it's Major McKenzie High School, whatever it's called there, McKenzie High School. You've got a greenhouse out behind that, across from the hospital. And what is a greenhouse intended to do? It's to try to provide an optimal place for plants and so on to grow. Just the right conditions. Just a good temperature and sunlight and things in there. Of course, they'll water it and care for it and so on. But it's intended to just make a good environment for growth. When there's an environment of unconditional love, there'll be more growth and more perfecting and more maturing in Christ. You know, the child who is convinced that his parents love him or her unconditionally, it will allow those parents to help them and guide them more. That child will grow more and be perfected more because they're trusting themselves to parents that they believe love them. Children will be more secure and in a better position to really grow and succeed and achieve and grow in Christ and everything if they're in a situation where they know, I'm loved. The Christian, the church member who believes that the pastor loves them will more allow the pastor to help them to grow and mature and be perfected in Christ. You know what, if you don't believe that the pastor loves you, you'll have a tendency to not want to listen to what he says. You'll have a tendency to really want to doubt, and I can't trust him, and he's out to get me, or that church, they just want my money, or he just wants to change me, or no. But if you believe that you're loved and that your pastor sincerely wants the best for you and wants you to have a blessed life and wants you to stand before God one day at the judgment seat of Christ, being able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you believe you're loved and believe that someone cares about you and wants what's best for you, you know what? It'll make you far better position to grow, to succeed, to mature spiritually, to be more perfected in Christ. If you're always cautious and worrying and wondering, what do they want? Or what are they trying to do? Or, it's not a good position for you to really grow and mature. Trusting and believing that you're loved will help you to grow and mature. And God wants that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that God does give us pastors and teachers and evangelists and so on for us, for our growth, for our edifying, to encourage us, to help build us up and so on. But you need to believe that they love you. Hey, believe that that Sunday school teacher loves you. Or believe that that pastor loves you. Believe they want what's best for your life. A place where there's love is the best soil for a Christian to grow in. You know, we want our church to be that kind of a place. That kind of a place. God loves you, and God loves me unconditionally. God is love. God's love is a perfect love, isn't it? He loves us whether we love him or not. He loves us even when we mistreat him. God's love is perfect. What does God want for you on a practical everyday basis? To dwell in love. To dwell in love. He wants his love to be perfected in your life. The kind of love that God shows to you, he wants you to show it to your children. Show it to your boss, show it to your employees, show it to your coworkers, show it to your friends, show it to your fellow Christians, show it to your parents, show it to your brothers and sisters, show it to your spouse. God wants his love to be perfected in us. How can we say we love God and yet we've got hatred in our heart for our spouse or for our brother or for our sister? How can we say we love God and yet we've got hatred in our heart for our neighbor? How can we say we love God, but we've got hatred in our house, in our heart for our boss at work? Let's dwell in love. Let's allow God's love to be perfected in us every day. That's where we ought to dwell. That's where we ought to live. Allowing God's love to flow through us to others and loving like he loves.